Chapter 41, the last chapter. The Boston Whaler streaked across the lake with its bow up on plane, Austin pushing the twin Evan Rude 150 outboard motors for all they were worth. His face was a bronze mask of anger and frustration. He had tried to go back to the lab, but the elevator had gone dead after it delivered them to the boathouse. The freight elevator wasn't working, either. He had started down a staircase only to have Gamay pull him back.
"It's no use," she said. "There isn't time."
"Listen to Gamay," Zavala agreed. "We've got less than 4 minutes." Austin knew they were right. He would die and jeopardize their lives if he attempted a futile rescue. He led the way out of the boathouse onto the pier. The guard sat outside, dozing in the sun. He got up and tried to unsling his gun. Austin, who was in no mood for Marquess of Queensberry rules, rushed the terrified guard. He slammed his shoulder into the man's midsection and knocked him off the pier. They piled into the boat. The key was in the ignition, and the gas tanks were full. The motors started right away. They cast off, and Austin gunned the throttle and steered the boat on a direct line for the Nevada shore. He heard a shout from Zavala and turned his head. Joe and Gamay were looking back toward the pier, where the lake bubbled like water boiling in a pot. There was a muffled roar, and a blood-red geyser shot hundreds of feet into the air like a waterspout. They covered their faces with their hands against the scalding rainfall and the cloud of steam that followed. When they dared to look, they saw that the pier had completely vanished. A wave at least 10 feet tall was rolling in their direction. "These boats are supposed to be unsinkable," Zavala said tensely.
"That's what they said about the Titanic," Gamay reminded him.
Austin brought the boat around so the bow was facing into the wave. They braced themselves, expecting to be swamped. But the surge simply lifted them high in the air and rolled beneath them. Austin remembered that even a tsunami doesn't amount to much until it hits the shore. He hoped the power of the wave would ease before it hit the Nevada side. Things were happening on land as well. A plume of smoke rose from the forest where Austin had seen the turrets of the building complex from his parasail. As they watched, the smoke changed in character, becoming thicker and darker. Austin reduced their speed and stared at the great black billows streaked with red and yellow flames that were rising high above the trees.
"Go to Demerung," he murmured. Gamay overheard him.
"Twilight of the gods?"
"I was thinking more of a goddess."
They were all silent, the only sound the drone of the motors and the hiss of the bow through water. Then they heard a hooting like a deranged owl, and turned to see a red, white, and blue confection steaming in their direction. The Tahoe Queen blew its whistle again. Paul's tall figure could be seen waving from the top deck. Austin waved back, goosed the throttle, and pointed the whaler toward the oncoming riverboat.